We're looking at strategic planning for the 80s. One element that's very key in finding out what trends God may direct us in the next decade is finding out what happened in the 70s. And that is what Donald is going to give us an overview of this afternoon. So, Donald?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Pat, very much. And thank you, Bruce, for reminding me that some of you at least may go into a trance at the end of all the numbers that I shared this afternoon. That is not my objective, but I'll understand if it happens. The beginning of 1980, as we all know, is a new decade, and it's a very appropriate time for us in the Navigators to look back at what God did through the Navigators during the whole decade of the 1970s. And then, a little later this month, our leadership conference will gather together, as you well know, and we shall be planning together with those 160 or so staff members where we believe and how we believe God would have us advance in the 1980s. So my desire this afternoon is to give you a brief impression of our ministries during the 1970s, just an impressionistic sketch of our performance throughout the world, necessarily brief, and then this is like a prelude to the work which we are beginning to do and will consummate at the leadership conference in a couple of weeks' time. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that the best way to make us familiar with a subject as broad as what have the Navigators done in the 1970s would be to visit each of our ministries around the world. If you could come with me to some of the places that I've been in the last 5 years or so, such as Accra or Bandung or Christchurch, and actually meet the fruit of our ministry there, men and women who've entered the kingdom through the Navigators. That would be ideal. Second best would be to bring some of these people here and have them stand up and talk themselves to you. Third, and least effective, is me. And so I am going to attempt, with the use of charts and numbers, just to sketch in a little of our ministries. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the 1970s, specifically to June 1970, when the divisional directors, the leadership of the Navigators, met with Lorne Sanne and set up some objectives for the decade of the 70s. And then I'm going to show our performance against each of these. And let me say a couple of things by way of introduction. First, I will have available at the end of this session this blue handout. I'm not giving it out now because the text is not exactly the same as the text that I'm presenting to you. But this handout is a description of progress for the Navigators for the last 3 years around the world. I've got 50 or so copies here, and you're very welcome to have one and read it at your leisure later. So this is the last 3 years in the Navigators. However, my canvas is broader. I want to talk about the last 10 years. I want to start with a quotation from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth, the world, and those who dwell therein. That's the context, that's the frame of mind that I have. As I was driving here from the international office, Isaiah 42 came to mind. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And so when you see that the Navigators are going up year by year in this dimension or that dimension, we've got more staff, more money, more everything, this is the Lord's doing, and it should be marvelous in our eyes, and we give him the glory. Okay, the first thing that the divisional directors did in June 1970 was to determine their aim for the 1970s. And this chart shows that our primary aim was to help fulfill the Great Commission by developing, making disciples and developing disciple makers in every nation. Very broad, very biblical, very strategic. This primary aim was distilled from considerable prayer on the part of Lorne and the leaders at that time, and it flows out of the promises which we believe that God has traditionally, through history, starting with Dos, given to the Navigators. Promises such as that in Isaiah 54, 1-3, where we read that we will spread abroad to the right and to the left, in the context of God's desire that we should enlarge and stretch and lengthen and strengthen. And so this is a significant and beautiful difference between the navigators and any secular corporation. Our planning, like the planning that we'll do at the conference later this month, starts with the foundation of God's promises, not with some business outline as to how to make a good plan. So this, you'll notice, first of all, as you look at it, is the primary aim of the navigators. And I like it too. The only problem with my little hand is it's a right-handed hand and I'm a left-handed man. But if you'll forgive that, otherwise we're okay. The first thing I want you to notice is it's the primary aim of the navigators. So the question naturally arises, and it's not as obvious as it might seem to you, who are the navigators? There are several ways of answering that question. Starting very broad, the navigators is anyone who's interested enough in our ministry to get on our mailing list. We've got 240,000 or so of these, and during the last 3 years, these have been increasing at 30% or so per year. Very fast growth in our mailing lists. And in the U.S. as well, very fast growth in the number of donors. We now have 69,000 donors worldwide, of whom some 57,000 are in the United States. Those of you who are in data entry or receipting are well aware of the number of donors and the rate of increase in the adding of names to our computer lists. We can then narrow it down a little bit more and say, well, we have some 3,300 active disciple makers. Now, Lorne calls these our Great Commission workforce. A disciple maker is someone who is active with us, teaming with NAV staff in an area, helping make disciples. We have over 3,000 of these, and that's growing somewhat slowly. Let me mention, parenthetically, that that is no big problem that it's growing slowly, because our desire is that many of these disciple makers who have been trained by the navigators should enter local churches, join other mission agencies such as Wycliffe or many of the interdenominational agencies, and they are so doing. More than 100 of our disciple makers in the United States alone joined other missionary agencies last year. That is extremely encouraging and is one of the ways in which we help build up Christ's body and don't just grow for our own sakes. So, the small growth here, particularly in the United States, is acceptable to us. NAV staff, that's all of us in this room, and many others, totaling, including wives, around 1,600 persons, and that's growing at about 6% per year. And then, narrowing it down even further to our central strategic force out in the field ministries, we have, at the moment, 367 representatives. Men and women. Typically, the average representative is just over 40 years old. He's known the Lord, or she's known the Lord, at least 7 years. And these are the core, the nucleus of the organization of the navigators. So, that's the answer to the question, who are the navigators? Now, so we had the primary aim that I showed you, to make disciples and develop disciple makers. We now know who the navigators are, and in the context of where they have reached in terms of numbers in 1979. Now I want to put up on this chart six of the objectives which the leadership of the navigators established in 1970 at the beginning of the decade, which would flow out of that primary aim to make disciples and develop disciple makers. I realize that this may be a little hard to read. It was not designed for an audience as large as this. It also contains a certain amount of jargon. This is an organizational objective. It makes sense to those who wrote it. Let me try and interpret. First of all, we determined that in the 1970s, we'd increase the number of navigator representatives. You remember we now have 7 by 15% per year around the world to reach at least 489 as we begin 1980. Well, as I'll show you later, 368 is where we've got to at the moment. So we haven't reached that, and I'll explain why. Secondly, we were going to expect that the new disciple makers that we produced would be at least 5 new disciple makers per representative per year throughout the entire decade. Thirdly, 12 new disciples per year, per representative throughout the decade. These were rather craftily put, these objectives, in terms of ratios, because we're concerned not just about volume, but about productivity. And you'll understand the significance, the difference there in your own contexts. Productivity is what we're interested in, particularly with the cost of a mission agency nowadays. To increase gift income by 25% per year, to develop 18 new countries that send out navigators to other countries, and to begin a ministry in 20 new countries. So those were six. I haven't shown you all, but six of the objectives that undergirded that primary aim. So we're going to take those in order, and we're going to have a look visually at what happened in each of them. And the first objective had to do with representatives, what I called our central strategic force. Here's the progress which we made, again numerically, during the decade. 10 years ago, in 1970, we had only 140 representatives. Now we've grown to 367. The yellow represents the non-Americans. And our growth during the 1970s is primarily due to two very fast-growing sectors. The non-Americans, as shown in the yellow here, particularly early in the decade. And secondly, although it's not shown there, the number of women representatives. We now have 45. We started the decade, and I think we only had five. They were a lonely group of people. I think we're more accepted now, and certainly a much more productive women's ministry spearheaded by these 45 reps. You'll notice, let me tell you first of all, we appointed 316 representatives during the decade, and about 70 resigned. Our rate of growth, first of all, let's compare it with the target. The target that I showed you on the objective was that we would start in 1970 and we would cumulatively grow at 15% per year compound growth. Now, those of you who are interested in finances or work in the financial department will know that compound growth, which is the way our leaders decided to set their objectives in the 70s, is a real burden when you get more than about 5 years out. It is very hard to keep growing at 15 or any significant percentage a year. That's one reason why this figure begins to take off about here. But the more significant reason why we could not keep up with the 15% per year growth in the latter half of the decade, starting in 76, 77, was a spate of resignations. Most of the 70 representatives who resigned in the 1970s did so in the period 77 and 78. We have identified several primary reasons for that. I'll tell you only of the major one. The most important reason was that Lorne Sanni distilled and went around the world interacting on and developing fundamentals of the Navigator Ministry, FOM, our fundamentals of ministry for the first time. They had never been stated so clearly, so intensively, and so biblically. What happened? A significant minority of our representatives read these, listened to Lorne, read the Bible, and said, well, that's very fine, but my gifts and my calling are different. And so they resigned, which was the appropriate thing for them to do. Some have gone into the pastorate, some have joined other agencies, some have set up their own outfits. But the main reason for these resignations during these 2 years here was people saw as never before with great clarity what the Nav ministry was and decided that their calling was a little different. So this was, in some sense, it was a traumatic thing and a healthy thing. I think you understand why it was both. And now, incidentally, the rate of resignations has dropped to less than 4% per year and I only know of one resignation of a representative in the current year, and we're almost halfway through it. So this was temporary. We knew that it would go on for 2 or 3 years and then stop. Anyway, there we are, the growth of our representatives, our central strategic force during the decade. Now, what do they do? That relates to objectives number 2 and number 3. What they do, you remember, our primary aim is they make disciples and develop disciple makers. This chart shows the fruit of the work of our staff and our representatives. On the left, we have 1970. On the right, we have 1979. So we have growth here over a nine-year period. First of all, disciples. In the year 1970, we had close on 1,000 new disciples through the direct Navigator ministry that year. In the year 1979, just over 4,000. Total for the decade, around 26,600. Probably a lot more. There are at least five countries in the Navigator world who do not feel that God would have them count new disciples. Very interesting theological position, which I better not go into at the moment. Suffice it to say that this figure is understated because we respect their convictions. However, for every country in the Nav world, we do count, after the fact, new disciple makers, because new disciple makers are a strategic resource that impacts on producing these. Disciple makers make disciples. We had 374 at the beginning of the decade. We now had last year a record year with just over 900. When I keep saying we, remember Isaiah 42. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. This is God's doing. The yellow portion shows the proportion. Non-Americans started the decade at about 20% of the total, now somewhere over 40%. For those of you who were not in a trance when I showed the six objectives, you may have taken down a note showing that the objective was couched as a productivity ratio. Five new disciple makers and 12 new disciples per rep. So let me just show you that there it is presented the way the objective. We won't spend too long on this, but here's the green line with the average of five new disciple makers per year, and that's what actually happened. It veered between 2 and 4, and the average for the decade was 2.7. The disciples, we wanted 12. We hit it 1 year there. You can see we were really going great guns up to there. A dip, and then this. Now, do not be despondent. Both these are way under target. I was not responsible for the targets, so I don't feel defensive about them. But I want to give you some reasons, some things we did not foresee in 1970. Our productivity, round about here, in both cases, became stuck. And in fact, in the case of disciples, it declined for several years until we recovered. And we have recovered. Why did our productivity not just keep on increasing and increasing? First of all, as you'll see in a moment, we expanded continuously into new countries, harder languages, different cultures. And each time you do that, you slow the process up. The easiest way to make disciples and develop disciple makers, if you're just after numbers, is to keep all 1,600 staff in the United States. Because there are 31 million evangelicals in the United States, 94% of the population, with respect to Madeline, still believe in God. And this is a very Christian country. So if we wanted numbers, we'd stay here. But we don't want numbers only. We want every nation, because Christ wants to send us to every nation. And so we kept going into new nations, and each time you do that, your staff spend 4 years getting adjusted, learning the language, getting oriented, and so on. And they have a few converts, but no disciple makers. That's one reason why productivity slowed down, our geographical expansion. Secondly, a tougher spiritual climate. An illustration of that I know well is the Netherlands. At the beginning of the decade, it was very easy to lead a university student in the Netherlands to Christ. It is remarkably difficult now. The spiritual climate has just changed in many countries where the Navigators work. Third reason, which is more relevant to the United States, is the growth of what we call the community ministry. A lot of our resources in the mid-70s transferred out of the student and military ministry as part of our plan into the community ministry in these years here. And the process of setting up, adjusting, learning how to work with adults, how to do marriage counseling, and all the other aspects of the ministry that are not associated with the collegiate environment, this slowed us up for several years until we begin to gather momentum again as we begin to learn in this new portion of the ministry. Another thing that happened, and I've got other reasons, I'll just mention one more. This was a very loose environment that the Navigators were planning and operating in here. I arrived in the scene about 73 and began to tighten up and make sure that numbers really stood for people, and then you see everything started going downhill immediately. But it is a distinct truth that here we pretty much counted everything that moved with great joy. Here we are concerned that people show forth the fruit of the Spirit and that they are teeming with us. We rejoice if they're teeming with some other organization, but we want to be sure that the people that we're talking about are out there and not just a figment of our imaginations. So those are some of the reasons why our productivity slowed down. Okay, let me sum up. I know that this is not our natural diet, this sort of presentation, so we have a primary aim to make disciples and develop disciple makers. We had it right throughout the 70s. Six objectives under that aim. The first was to increase the means. The means to our goal was representatives, and through them, other staff. We did that. We went up to 368 at the end of last year. Then, if they're the means, the result we were looking for, disciples and disciple makers, and we've grown year by year in the way that I showed, but our productivity dipped and spluttered a little bit halfway through the decade. Okay, so we're halfway. We've dealt with three of the objectives. The fourth objective had to do with gift income. And here is our performance in American dollars for gift income throughout the decade. Yellow, again, as I say, I arrived in 73. I decided that the non-Americans ought to be counted separately, and off we went. Before 73, everything was treated as basically income of the U.S. corporation, and not, that's an overstatement, but it was not so carefully calculated, or the non-American income was not collected. The situation in the last year, 1979, is that we had income around the world of $14.7 million, of which $11 million came in through the Glen here as American income, and $3.7 million came in as overseas income. These dashed lines, by the way, above that is the proportion of American income from there to there, which goes overseas, basically to American missionaries. Up here is the portion of non-American income, which goes to other countries outside where it comes from also. How did we do against our objective? 25% per annum compound growth was what was decided in 1970 as a goal. We kept up with that through 1975, and then we began to slip behind. Now notice that in volume terms, our income continued to grow. It grew, in fact, at well over $1 million a year in every one of these years. So the volume kept up, but the 25% per year compound just takes off. And we did not continue with that. Parenthetically, the income experience of the navigators in the 1970s is that, by and large, it has not been a major hindrance. Lack of income has not been a major hindrance to our field ministries. The income difficulties that we've had have been rather concentrated in specific areas, such as headquarters. We're painfully aware of the difficulty of financing headquarters. Such as buying homes for American missionaries overseas. It costs more than $100,000 in some countries to get a 2- or 3-bedroom home that a man can live in. So areas like this have been where we've experienced difficulty, but God has honored the promises that we took from him at the beginning of the decade, and although we haven't grown at 25% per year, our income has been adequate for the field ministry that we have needed. Now, that's not to say that all our staff in the field are at 100% of their budgets. They're not. Some are really hurting. But we do not have a group of staff waiting to come on to staff because of lack of income. We failed to foresee, like everyone else, when we planned in 1970, two major financial problems which hit a missionary agency particularly hard. The first occurred in August 1971 when President Nixon floated the American dollar. You may remember that occasion. And the result of that float throughout almost the whole of the rest of the decade is that the American dollar has tended to decline in value relative to other currencies in countries where the navigators work. And as the American dollar declines in value, you have to send more and more dollars to the American missionaries for them to maintain the same standard of operation. The second thing that we did not foresee was the very high levels of price inflation stimulated by various things, principally the OPEC decisions around here and the price of oil, and the failure to manage the major Western economies that occurred right through this whole area and is still going on. We didn't foresee the inflation. We didn't foresee the decline in the value of the dollar. Result, American missionaries have been caught in a trap throughout almost the whole decade. Their dollars purchase less of the local currency, and the local currency rapidly becomes less valuable anyway. Let me just show you very briefly a rather scary chart. Just glance at this, you won't absorb it. This shows inflation per year during the years 1970 to 1977. Argentina has the dubious distinction of having it inflated at over 100% per year for 7 years. Amazing. And we have staff there, Americans and local staff, and they are hurting. You need to pray for them. Ghana, I was there some time ago. Apart from the shortages and the difficulties of ministering there, they've been inflating at 30% per year. We think we have a problem in the States with about 12% per year. There are only 4 countries in the whole of the Navigator mission of 34 countries which have had as low a rate of inflation as we have in the United States over the 7 years. So all these countries with missionaries in them, they've had to struggle more than we have. So that's inflation. Okay. Moving on quickly. Our fifth objective was that we would not just, as we did at the beginning of the decade, have American staff available to send to other countries around the world, but we realized that in order to move towards every nation, there are a number of countries which just don't accept Americans, period. The passport is not you're not allowed in if you're American. You're not allowed in if you're an Englishman in some countries, too. So we needed to get more and more countries sending Navigator staff to other countries. So we set that objective up that you saw, and here's how we did. This is very encouraging. In 1969, we only had one country which was sending staff abroad, missionary staff, the USA. Here in 1979, we have 14 of them, all not only with a ministry in each of these countries, but with a ministry that is sending local people out to other countries, Nav staff. We started with Paul Lapala, who went out from Canada to Finland very early in the decade. Another prayer request. Peter Hong is a Korean who is currently negotiating to get a visa to be the first Korean missionary, and he will go to the Philippines. Natural strategy, third world people to third world countries. So we have moved through all these countries, and each of them in a very small way relative to the United States. But nevertheless, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 staff maybe are being sent overseas by each of these countries and supported by them financially. This is not with American money. Nevertheless, as I was saying to Jack, the USA will obviously, right throughout the 80s, and I have projections on this which we won't go into now, the USA will continue to be the indispensable engine of our global ministry. 76% of all representatives in the Navigators who are missionaries are Americans. And that will not fall too much during the 80s. Okay, so much for new sending countries. Where did we send them, these people whom we sent out? Well, we sent them, a lot of them, into new countries. And this shows the countries that we entered in the 70s for the first time with staff. In 1969, we had a ministry that was staff-led in 21 countries. We now have it in 34 countries. In this sequence, we entered these countries throughout the decade. At the same time, we had to withdraw from 4 countries. In Denmark, the barrenness of the spiritual climate made us conclude that it was not appropriate to stay. In Uganda, President Amin expelled us. In Lebanon, a war broke out. I happened to be there at the time in the fall of 76, so the staff left, and they are now back. And in Iran, a number of things happened, and now with hindsight, one can sense that the Lord preserved us in moving us out of Lebanon a couple of years, out of Iran a couple of years ago. So anyway, these are the new countries that we entered. These two a second time. These are the 4 we left. The key thing to remember is we're now in 34 countries with a staff-led ministry. Parenthetically, let me mention that there are a number of other countries where we have a strong NAV ministry. Burma, Thailand, Poland, Romania, Czechoslovakia, And in these countries, we are producing NAV profile disciple makers. So we are performing our primary aim. We don't talk about this. We cannot have official staff missionaries living in many of these countries. But we have a strong navigator ministry in probably at least 6 other countries around the world. And one of our successes under God in the 1970s has been our experience in closed countries, with the China Task Force, with Eastern Europe, and now with our experience in South Asia. This chart, I want to say one thing only about it. We're in 34 countries, as I mentioned. In those 34 countries, we're in 550 ministry locations. A location might be like Colorado Springs or Denver or Pueblo. 550 cities around the world, and you can see student ministry has stayed a little over half the NAV ministry in terms of where it is, the students. The military has fallen. There are 33% less people in the American military than there were when you pulled out of Vietnam. Naturally, we contract our ministry in line with the contraction in the available people we want to reach. This may reverse, thanks to President Carter and the draft. The community ministry. I hear people say, we are stifling the community ministry, we ought to get into it. Well, it's the fastest growing section of the Navigator ministry in the last 5 years. It's now 25% of our total ministry in terms of places is community. So if you hear that, that statistic might help those who say it to you. Okay, so that's where we are. I'm going to pull this together now. I've gone over the 5 or 6 objectives, and I've given you an approximate impression, and I won't show you this, but let me say that our performance, therefore, during the decade was between 60% and 88 to 90% on each of those objectives that we outlined. And one of the things that we have learned, rather than be despondent about that, is that we can make reasonable projections in the Navigators for about 5 years ahead, maximum. And when we try and do it for 10 years, this 15% per year thing just kicks up into the sky and we miss it. So we're going to project at the ILC and with the divisional directors later, we'll probably not project more than 5 years ahead. That's all we need for operating purposes. That enables us to do most of our planning, all of it. And we find that we're short of profits anyway within the Navigators. This, I think, will intrigue you. This is my personal opinion of 8 strengths and 8 difficulties or weaknesses or problems that the Navigators around the world encountered in the 1970s. Our primary strength, our godly and committed staff. Then the fundamentals of ministry, which I mentioned to you. As never before, we have clarified where we're going, what God has called us to do as a part of the body. The maturing around the world of many non-Americans, there'll be 60 of them here at this conference, and if you meet them, and as you meet them, I think you'll agree with me that many of these are godly people. The launch of the community ministries, particularly in the United States, our international trainee program. We have 50 or 60 trainees out, and a request for another 60 or 70. It is remarkably successful. It's a short-term thing, 2 or 3 years overseas. Our ministry to closed countries, our publications ministries, John Eames and all NAV Press guys and girls here. Total publications around the world last year, $2.1 million. Almost 1 million Bible studies were put out by the Navigators. And my field colleagues disagree with me on this, but I contend that we have a rather simple, decentralized structure. Sometimes a field man finds it rather complex and bureaucratic. Difficulties. The loss of leaders of staff. Loss is deliberately chosen. It includes several concepts, resignation, moving people sideways. People get promoted to their level of competence, and they don't, you know, they're not promotable any longer, and a number of other things. But this was a very significant drain on us during the 70s. The lessening of the family spirit. Remember, we're 1,600 staff, so we don't know the names of one another's children, let alone the names of one another. The solution to this, obviously, is to create family spirits within smaller groups, like within a state. or within a department. This we're doing. But our older staff find this very painful. They remember the days when Lon Sanney knew everyone's children's names, and why doesn't he now? So this is a problem. Cross-cultural complexities. Yes, very complex. Everything takes longer. The need to form a wise strategy. We had a strong strategy in 1972. Our problem with it was that it was too authoritarian, too directive, and it channeled people into, it forced countries to grow at certain rates. We backed off very wisely, and we moved into a period of having no strategy at all. That was an overreaction, and now we are building the beginnings of a good biblical supportive strategy. I'm working in that area, and I would appreciate your prayers as I try and serve the leadership team in this area. Returned representatives. Too many of them came back from the mission field. We studied 54 cases in detail. We know the reasons. We've made corrective action. We've changed some of our systems. We've tried to be more human in some areas. And we are dealing with this. The cost of overseas mission. That chart, Argentina, 100% per year, inflation. I need to say no more on that. It's out of sight, as they say. And then this problem of inheriting ministries. During the 1970s, particularly in the middle of the decade, we moved people around from area to area too fast. The result was people kept having new teams. I would inherit this team, then I'd move somewhere else and inherit that team, and they'd inherit me. And there was a degree of instability and rebuilding of relationships constantly because of this, this moving a little too quickly. It was a difficulty in the 70s. Let me end with a quotation, which is a very special verse to me, part of my motivation, and relates, I think, to the presentation. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. He is the God of the whole earth, the God of heaven. And if we are faithful to the concept that we are his servants and not the prime movers in any of this, he has promised to make us prosper. And so as we enter the 80s and we approach this conference here in a couple of weeks, the concept is that we, his servants, must seek his will, depend on his promises, and continue to build throughout the 80s. And I just find that extremely fulfilling and extremely humbling and motivating to be part of that process as you are. So, I have moved rather fast. I have used material and numbers which are not familiar to many of you. But I do have this blue handout for those of you who would like to take some more material away and read it more slowly. And I'm always open for phone calls or questions in the days and weeks ahead. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you, Pat.